19 is where we're going to be this morning. We're going to go through a handful of verses. Everybody's familiar with the passage. I do want to say welcome to my long-lost buddy, Miss Wendy. It used to be Wendy Taylor. I think now it's Wendy Carlson. Oh, thank goodness I got that right, man. But anyways, it's good to see you. It's so good to see you. She's a precious, precious, precious lady. Okay, so Luke 19, and we're going to start with verse 37. What we're talking about today, this timely message, we're talking about the triumphal entry as Jesus Christ comes into Jerusalem. Now, Jesus knew exactly what he was coming to Jerusalem for. So you can dismiss any of those thoughts or anything that you ever heard somebody say, maybe well-meaning, not well-meaning, that Jesus got caught up in some big political situation. He bit off more than he could chew. That's not what happened. Jesus knew exactly why he was on earth. He knew exactly what he was here for. And he knew why he was heading to Jerusalem. He was going to Jerusalem. He knew he was going to be betrayed. And he knew he was going to lay down his life. No one took it from him. Can I get a witness? He laid down his life so we could be free. So let's give the Lord some praise. Let's get excited. Let me just speak a couple words of encouragement to you guys. I know that a lot of people are going through a lot of stuff. We're here right now to give God glory. And I want you to lay your burdens down. Lay your burdens down at the feet of Jesus. Lay them down. If you're struggling with fear, anxiety, depression, you know, you don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. Just give it to the Lord, okay? Our God is able, okay? Our God is able. Let me hear you say it, church. My God is able. My God is able. My God is able. That's a true statement. That's a true statement, but we want to get it in our hearts, okay? That's where it's going to make the difference. You know, if I understand, hey, I'm going through this situation. I don't know when it's going to end. I don't know where I'm at in this situation, in this trial, you know. But my God is able. My God is going to get me through. We need to stand on God's promises, okay? So let's just lay our burdens down, and let's have open hearts this morning as we see Jesus Christ coming into Jerusalem. As he was drawing near, already on the way down the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of his disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works they had seen, saying, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest." And some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." He answered, "I tell you, if these were silent, the very stones would cry out." And when he drew near and saw the city, he wept over it, saying, "Would that you, even you, had known on this day the things that make for peace, but now that are hidden from your eyes, for the days will come upon you when your enemies will set up a barricade around you and surround you and hem you in on every side and tear you down to the ground, and you and your children within you, and they will not leave one stone upon another in you, because you did not know the time of your visitation." That is a very sad group of scriptures right there. As he was drawing near, already on the way down the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of his disciples began to rejoice and praise. Now, Jesus Christ, just a little while earlier, just raised Lazarus from the dead. A lot of people heard about that. A lot of people seen that. And Jesus is okay, I want you to kind of picture this right here. Jesus coming down the Mount of Olives, seeing Jerusalem, and then these huge masses of people, just thousands and thousands of people, all giving God glory. But they all, listen, they all have an ideal of what they want Jesus to do for them. Do you hear what I said this morning? They're not really getting it. They're not getting it at all. See, over and over again, throughout Israel's history, in this particular time, everybody knows this, at this particular time, they were ruled by the Romans, okay? This is just one of many governments, one of many other nations that had ruled over the little tiny nation of Israel or Judea, okay? And just like in times past, God would warn Israel, hey, turn away from your idolatry, turn away from your wickedness, okay, or judgment's going to have to fall on you. Okay, and they wouldn't do it. So judgment would fall on them in the form of the Assyrians, Philistines, Babylonians, the Moabites, all kinds of people, man. Okay, but as they would repent, because of the hard times, because of the scariness, because of the brutality of their enemies, they would repent and they'd cry out to God, and God would send a deliverer. God would raise up a Moses. God would raise up a Samson. God would, you know, raise up a Jehu. God would raise up one of these mighty men, a picture of a Messiah. You know, God would raise up this mighty guy to kick out the enemy, to destroy the enemy. So here we are again. They're being ruled by the Romans, and they've been crying out, God, send us that deliverer. God, send us that deliverer. And so all of a sudden, they think he's on the scene. And he is on the scene. He's totally on the scene. But it's not what they're expecting. As he's coming into Jerusalem, they're like, this is it, man. This is what we've been waiting for. This, I cannot believe that I have lived to see this day, man, where this guy, I don't know if he's going to just wave his hands and something crazy is going to happen because he's got some amazing abilities. I don't know if he's going to raise up an army. I don't know, but if he raises up an army, you can count me in. They were so expecting for Jesus to just wipe out the Romans, man, and restore everything to Israel's former glory. They had a different picture than what Jesus had. But I want to tell you guys, I want to say this before I forget it because it is so important, that we don't always understand the things that God has planned. You know, I'm always reminded of Jeremiah 29, verse 11, for I know the plans I have for you. So here's the skinny, here's the deal on that one, man. You don't know the plan. You don't know the plan. But God loves us enough, okay? And he certainly loves us. He says, for I know the thoughts that I have towards you, or I know the plans that I have towards you. Because he knows, man, we get freaked out, we get scared, things aren't going the way that they think they should go. You know, so we're burdened by something. And God says, well, hold on. I know you're not going to understand everything. I know you couldn't handle everything if you knew what was going to happen for me to get you to the place I need you to be. But he says, hold on. I got a plan for you. And it's a good plan. It's a good plan. So trust in me. And let's get to that place where we say, God, your will be done. You know, and mean it. You know, whatever that is. God, your will be done. Just like Jesus in the garden, you know. God, if there's a way around this, Dad, if there's a way around this, I want to go that way. But if there's not, not my will, but your will be done. So all these people, man, they're expecting Jesus to do something that he's not going to do, that he never said he was going to do, not this time, okay? Because he will sit on an earthly throne, or he will sit on a throne here, which I'm totally excited about. Can I get a witness? Okay? Yes, we have much to look forward to as his children. Okay, but they're missing it. Okay, Mark 11 and verse 8 and 9, we don't see this in Luke. This account, the triumphal entry, we see it in all four of the Gospels. I picked Luke because of some of the things he says, but there's other things in other parts of the gospel that I want to bring out real fast, and I'm going to try and hopefully not preach too long. But let me read Luke 19:37 again. As he was drawing near, already on the way down the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of his disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they seen. This is just coming right off of the death and resurrection of Lazarus. Now, this is what they say, verse 38, saying, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Now, they surely, at this moment, they believe Jesus Christ is their Messiah. They say, this is the guy that's going to deliver us. But they're not seeing the big picture. It's not some temporal political thing that he comes to set up or to kick the Romans out. Okay, he comes to set up his kingdom. Where's his kingdom at? It's in our hearts. You know what I mean? So it doesn't matter what kind of situation I'm in. It doesn't matter what the doctor told me. It doesn't matter what grandma told me. It doesn't matter what the boss man told me. It doesn't matter what my body, what's going on, okay, or my checkbook. I can have peace. I can have joy. You know, with that confidence, man, my God reigns and he reigns inside me, man. We are blessed people, man. And, you know, let's do this, man. Let's try and get our eyes off of ourselves a little bit. You know, hey, that's kind of tough. that's kind of tough. Man, I ain't worked in like a year, you know. Some people in here ain't really been able to work in like a year because of the COVID business. You know, what's going on with all that? There's a million and one things that could freak us out. But looky here, man. My God is in control. My God reigns. And he has a good plan for me. I don't have to understand everything, but I can start with that. He loves me, and he is faithful to me, and he's there for me. Can I get a witness? Thank you, Jesus. Saying, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Now look at Mark 11 and verse 8. I believe it's on your bulletin. Mark 11 and verse 8 and 9. This is the same thing going on in the Gospel of Mark. And many spread their cloaks on the road, and others spread leafy branches or palm branches that they had cut from the fields. This is super, super important stuff, and it helps us understand what the Israelites, what they perceive is going on as Jesus is coming down the mountain into Jerusalem. And man, they are excited. Man, they are super, super excited, you know, but they're just missing it. They're not getting it. See, the palm branch thing, it's let me see if I can explain it. It's like a sign of a national pride, the palm branch. Okay, so the palm branch was tied to a lot of Old Testament victories. It was even on some of the Jewish coins and stuff like that. Synagogues would have palm branches. It was a sign of pride. It would be like the American bald eagle or something like that. So imagine, you know, here comes Jesus, and they're like, oh, this is it. This is it. Everybody's just stoked, man. You know, they're waving their American flags, whatever. You get the picture. This is it, man. This huge cacophony of people screaming. And they're screaming, Hosanna, Hosanna. Well, what does that mean? Okay, we'll find that in another part of the Gospels as well. But that's like save, exclamation mark. Save us, exclamation mark. Oh, save. Or you can look at it like this. Save us now, or do this now. This is it. This is our moment. This is what we've been waiting for, man. This is what the preacher man told us about in the temple. This is what the preacher told us about in synagogue. This is what I learned in Saturday school when I was a little kid, that the Messiah was coming, and now out go the Romans, man. This is awesome. Okay, so they're throwing their cloaks, their clothing down for Jesus and the donkey to walk over, you know, and that represents submission to his rule, or submission to him as king. You are the one that we want to be our king. Okay, now like I said, they're not getting it. They're thinking of something very earthly, very temporal. Let's just get this taken care of. Let's get the Romans off of the street. Let's get things going back to how it was in the days of Solomon, David, something like that. You know, these guys were brutally oppressed, and the Romans were pretty cruel at times. You know what I mean? Okay, matter of fact, 2 Kings 9 and verse 13, this is when they made Jehu king, or when they submitted to Jehu as king in Israel. Then in haste, every man of them took his garment and put it under him on the bare steps, and they blew the trumpet and proclaimed Jehu as king. So anybody watching this situation that knew the Old Testament scriptures could see what was going on here. They're trying to make this guy king. They're trying to make this Jesus king, okay? They want him to go in there and sit on a throne, okay? Now, not everybody was hip to that. Not everybody, and Jesus was not coming to do that, okay? He was coming to die for our sins. He was coming to pay a debt that he didn't know. Can I get a witness? But see, the Pharisees were there too, man. And the Pharisees were not hip to this at all, man. They didn't like this. They didn't want anybody messing with their power. You know, they had a pretty good thing going on, man. You know, their thing was all right. We'll talk about that more in a second. Saying, blessed is his king who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And then Mark 11 and verse 9, we see this. And those who went before and those who followed were shouting, Hosanna, save now. Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Okay, let's go to the next slide, church people. Or you can follow along on your bulletin or whatever. Can I get anybody some Diet Mountain Dew or some Sprite? You know Wendy Carlson? When I was in Washington as a young lad, as a young fella, and you were up there, you had just been established up there with your mom and pop. And we were coming up there, and they had Slice. They had this refreshing beverage. It was called Slice. They have it down here to some extent or whatever. But when I was up there, you know, it doesn't even matter. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. Oh, do you want to hear? You want to hear? You got time for it? They had a ton of different assorted fruit flavors, like our Fanta or Crush or something like that. But this was different to me. And then this one caught my eye. It was apple slice, which I understand that none of these exist or something anymore. I was like, oh, that sounds good. And I grabbed one. I said, Dad, can I have this apple slice? Like, sure, boy. And so I grabbed the apple slice, and it was so delicious. Pretty much the end of the story. But you can't find those anymore. But moving forward, all God's people said, move forward. So not everybody was stoked about what was going on here. Imagine all these people screaming, man. You ever been to like a pro ball game of some sort or something, like in an arena, and it's just these massive people screaming in unison the same thing? I've never been to a pro ball game. I imagine it's something like that. But I've been to concerts, man. I've been to stuff like that where it's just crazy, where you can't even like really hear your own thoughts because everything's so loud. Imagine how the disciples feel, you know, after 3 long years of camping out and going through the storms and all this stuff. It looks like it's finally going to pay off, man. This is it, man. The Peter, Jesus. You know, but see, everybody's missing it. Everybody's missing it. Hey, God might have a different plan than your plan, but his plan is far, listen, God might have a different plan than your plan, but his plan is far better than your plan. So we need to submit to that, whatever it is, say, God, your will be done. Okay, and some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, Teacher, rebuke your disciples. Okay, the Pharisees, the religious elite, they totally saw this as blasphemy. You are no king. You certainly aren't any sort of Messiah. They're not buying it. And see, what's going on with the Pharisees, like we can be, you know, I don't understand this guy. Some people are downright militant against this Jesus thing. You know what I mean? Some people can't stand it. There's those people that are like, you know, it's okay for you, whatever. My grandma went to church. I kind of get it, but no, it's not for me. And then there's some people that just flat out hate it, man. Can't stand it. Don't even know why. They just hate it. I mean, Jesus Christ, to this very moment, you know, he's the most loved and hated name in all creation. You know, there's just something about that name, man. You bring that name up, you better be ready to lose some friends. But hey, it might cost you that. Eh? Oh, well. All God's people said, oh, well. You know what I mean? These Pharisees, they didn't want nothing to do with it. They were sitting in a pretty good place, man. They were ruled by the Romans. So anything that really crazy or brutal happened, or, you know, maybe they could just push that over on the Romans. Oh, the Romans won't let us do it. You know, they could kind of do that. But then they had an immense authority and power that they totally abused. You know, and the Romans liked them. It satisfied the Romans to have that religious leadership structure there to kind of not upset the apple cart, you know, kind of squelch the rebellions, keep everybody kind of nice and happy, you know, puppet regime type deal. But they had a lot of power, man, and they were totally abusing it. So there was, in the religious structure of Israel at this time, as we're all aware of, it was hypocrisy, big time, man. Bestowing stuff on people that they weren't willing to keep themselves, you know. Oh, okay. And some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, Teacher, rebuke your disciples. Hey, you can't be doing this. The Pharisees were scared to death of Jesus Christ. They were fearful of what he was going to do. They were in this particular time, they needed to remove Jesus some way because he wasn't conforming to them. And that's what we're talking about. Jesus is not meant to conform to you or your desires. Okay? It's not about that. Okay? It's not about him molding to us. We need to become more like him and less like us. Okay? Can I get a witness? Okay? So here's the dealio. You know, they're scared to death. You know, that all of a sudden, they've enjoyed a lot of freedom with this Roman rule. You know, they kind of were able to do their own thing and rob and swindle. And here comes this Jesus guy that's just totally upsetting their program, man. They're scared. They're like, okay, we're going to lose our place of authority because this guy doesn't just make promises. This guy, he's producing results, man. I don't get it. I don't understand it. But, okay, you know, he just raised Lazarus from the dead, which is something the Messiah totally was going to do, okay? But they didn't see it. Matter of fact, they said, okay, now not only do we have to get rid of this Jesus dude, but this guy Lazarus who just got real sick some way, somehow, who just died tragically, let's find that guy and kill him. Let's kill that dude. We got to get rid of that. You know what I mean? We got to get rid of that walking testimony of what this guy can do. And if the Romans get upset, you know, because look, here comes the guy. Here comes the guy coming down the valley, man, into Jerusalem. And all of a sudden, they see the power that this one man holds over all these people. Man, that could really freak the Romans out. You know what I mean? Okay, well, the Romans could be like, hey, Pharisees, we no longer need you. You know, there was a lot of things that could have happened, so the Pharisees just totally had to have this thing go away because they weren't about to give their lives to this king. They were too happy with how things were going. Can I get a witness? Matter of fact, this is John 11 and 48. If we let him go on like this, if we just let Jesus do this thing, like you have any say over that. You know what I mean? We're talking about the creator of the universe, the second man of the Trinity. You know what I mean? If we let him go on like this, everyone will believe in him, and the Romans will come and take away both our place and our nation. See, they were just worried about themselves, man. Okay. And some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." He answered, I tell you, Jesus is just all the time cool. Everything he ever says, like, that's pretty cool, man. He answered, "I tell you, if these were silent, these guys, these people, if these were silent, the very stones would cry out." See, God's going to get his glory. God's going to get his praise. God's going to get his due glory. But are we going to be the ones that do it? You know what I mean? You ever think about that? Are we doing what we're supposed to do? Are we so caught up in what's going on in our little world, you know, where we can't stop and say, "God, you know what? You are good. You are so good. Yeah, my life is, it's not how I want it right now." You know, or whatever, fill in the blank. Can't find my cat or my car keys or my cat's car keys or whatever. The older you get, the jokes get stupider. And you find a little humor in it, you know, like this will kill, man. This is some cat's car keys, man. This will slay them. And you say it's like, oh, that's ridiculous. Cats. Because, Crystal, cats don't drive cars, man. Whatever. See? Here we go. So what are we talking about today? Oh, yeah, triumphal entry. And some of the Pharisees already read that. He answered, "I tell you, if these were silent, the very stones would cry out." Isn't that cool? Isn't that so cool? Okay. So we're meant to give God glory, man. If you ever ponder, like seriously, ever like, what am I here for? What's the meaning of all this? Well, that's it, really. That's it. To give God glory. And the more you sell out to him, the more you give him honor, the more you give him glory by obeying that book, you're going to find yourself in the place where you really want to be, man. Because the more you give him glory, the more you sell out to him, your will is going to go from something that could be pharisaical, something that could be very selfish, something that could be very hypocritical, I mean, let's be honest, right, to something that is what God wants. Did that make sense? You know, that's what we're here for, to give God glory. That's what your purpose is, to give him glory, to give him honor. Sometimes you got to give him that sacrifice of praise, man. Sometimes you ain't feeling it. Sometimes you're like, man, my body hurts. My neck hurts. My cat's car key thing again. Cat car key. Doesn't work. Okay. Not everybody's going to make that jump, man. Not everybody's going to sell out to Jesus Christ. Not everybody wants that. Well, God wants that. God says he wishes none would perish. You know, he doesn't want anyone to go to hell. Hell was not made for humanity. Hell was made for Satan and his angels, man. You know, hell was made for Satan, not us. But we got that whole free will thing going on. Matter of fact, look at Matthew 7:14. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life. Well, hold on, man. You're contradicting yourself because you said the salvation thing, it ain't that complicated. It's not. We repent of our sins. Say, I'm a sinner, man, and I can't do this on my own. And I believe you are the Son of God, and I ask Jesus to be my Lord and Savior. And at that moment, whether I see stars or fall over backwards, or I don't feel nothing. If I meant that, I'm a saved person. Jesus did all the hard part. But what's hard about it is we get caught up in all this other stuff on both sides of the road, man. Hey, that looks pretty. Hey, I want to do that. Hey, you know, and we're wasting time, man. Today is the day. You can't put it off, okay? Okay, so let's move forward. All God's people said, moving forward. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Not everybody's making that jump, man. Not everyone's going to do it. Luke 19:40, he answered, I tell you, if these were silent, the very stones would cry out. I love that, man. You know, when you look at something really pretty, something really special, like the mountains or something, and I miss mountains. I was going to take Rachel Jean up to see the mountains in Alabama. You know, just I dig that kind of stuff, man. You know, I like the outdoors. I've been trying really, really hard to find all these bears that everybody's finding in their backyard. I'm like the one person in Northwest Florida trying to find one of these bears, man, that everyone keeps saying. I can't find one. Anywho, you know, nature screams out, man. Nature gives God glory just by doing its thing, man. You know, there's no excuse for you to not accept Jesus Christ when there's this awesome witness, awesome testimony everywhere you look, man. You know what I mean? Take a walk through the woods. Look at the beach, man. That's all God. That's all pointing. That's all giving God glory. That's all saying, look what God has done, man. Look what God has done. Okay. Psalm 66:4. All the earth worships you and sings praises to you. The waterfall, man, singing praises to God. The dolphins doing a brr, brr. That's whales or whatever. That's all giving God glory, man. And here we are, man, we got it good. We got it good. We get to live forever, man, with the Lord, right? So, yeah, maybe things ain't exactly how you want it right now. But God is so good, and he gives strength to the weary. He gives us provision. He's got good, good, good things for us. You know what I'm saying? Can I get a witness? But we get to go to heaven. And we're, like, so, you know, upset because Sister so-and-so didn't talk to you or something like that, you know, or the boss man didn't give you, or you didn't get your stimulation check or something. Stimulus. You got to speak. Public speakers should speak publicly, should speak appropriately. All the earth worships you and sings praises to you. They sing praises to your name. Let's go to the next and final slide. Everybody's missing it. No one's getting it. They're expecting this Messiah to do something completely different. you know. And the Pharisees, they hate it. They can't stand it. And when he drew near, this is what's going on in Jesus' heart. And when he drew near and saw the city, he wept over it. To me, that is so, so sad, man. You know, because, well, you know, let's be honest, man. You know, the most humble dude in this room, which is me. Yeah. No, the most humble person in this room coming into this situation with thousands upon thousands of people screaming, man. You know, that'd be a crazy situation, man. You know, would a little pride want to get into your heart a little bit? Hey, you know. But see, Jesus isn't thinking about any of that. Matter of fact, any time in Scripture when somebody, you know, there was that time where they crossed the Sea of Galilee, they were going to grab them and make them king by force. They were going, hey, dude, you're coming with us. We're marching with you, dude. And he went away. He went, nope. When Peter tried to tell him, hey, you cannot be handed over to evil men and go through this death situation, whatever that is. And Jesus was like, get behind me, Satan. Jesus knew what he was doing, and he wouldn't be diverted from that, you know. So even though all these people are screaming, man, he's thinking about them and how sad of a day this really, really is. When nobody's getting it, the Pharisees are upset, you know. Everybody else is like, this is it. We're kicking the Romans out. And he's like, you don't get it. You don't get it, man. You're missing your opportunity. You're missing it. And when he drew near and saw the city, he wept over it because he knew what was going to happen. Because, yeah, they were so stoked about Jesus. But in a couple days, they were all going to turn their backs on him. When he didn't do what they wanted him to do, they're like, I'm done with it. That was weird. That didn't work out right, you know. And a lot of people were just crushed, man. The disciples were completely crushed. You know, because the Messiah didn't do what they thought he was supposed to do. They thought it was game over. You know, and Jesus knows, man, that these people are going to reject him. And see, listen to me, church people. Listen, seriously. When you decide to reject Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you have just decided, I don't want anything to do with you, that I'm going to pay for my sins all by myself. I got this. I'll handle this. And you can't do it, man. There's only one way under earth. There's only one name under earth by which we can be saved. There's only one way to the Father, and that's through Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter what somebody smart told you. They're not that smart, okay? Seriously, it's got to be Jesus. That is the only way, all right? And he knew that by and large, these people were rejecting him. Therefore, God's judgment was going to have to fall on this city, Jerusalem, which was called Jerusalem, you know, but it means city of peace. City of peace. You know, Jerusalem is built in this really cool place. It's like on a mountain, you know, and it's really hard for enemies to get to it. So it's like this really awesome place. And they had a lot of pride in that. Anyways, moving forward, it's a fake peace that they have going on. It's a peace that is forced by the Romans and their swords and their spears and their shields, making sure they follow their curfew, making sure they only do what they say do, and so on and so forth. It's a fake peace. You know what I mean? Okay. See, Jesus comes to give us peace no matter what situation we're in. You know, to know. I mean, Christian people, if you've accepted Jesus, honestly, isn't it like the best feeling in the world to realize? Yeah, give him some praise, seriously. To realize, you know, that if you don't make it home tonight, you know, if things don't work out the way you thought they would, man, to be absent from the bodies, to be present with the Lord. A Christian, it's a win-win no matter what, you know. So we don't, you know, like, hey, death, where's your sting, man? We don't fear that stuff. I don't fear that stuff. And, you know, I'm just saying, we have a lot to rejoice about. And I really forgot my main thing I was trying to tell you, but that's good stuff, right? So give the Lord some praise while I remember. And when he drew near and saw the city, he wept over it, saying, would that you, even you, had known on this day, even you, even you, old rotten Jerusalem people, you know, who killed the prophets, who torture and torment the prophets, anybody that came down through history talking about this day, when they didn't say something about me that you didn't like, you killed them. Yeah, but he's like, even you guys, you know, even you, even me, you know, it doesn't matter what's in your past. It doesn't matter what you did on the way over. It doesn't matter. You know, today is the day. All that can be washed away. Can I get a witness? For the day will come upon you. Yeah. Would that you, even you, had known on this day that things that might make for peace. It's like, you think there's going to be peace if I go in there and kick out the Romans? You'd like that for a day or two. Then you'd be squabbling, doing all kinds of god-awful things. Yeah, there ain't no peace in that, you know? Things that make for peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes. For the days will come upon you when your enemies will set up a barricade around you and surround you and hem you in on every side. Hey, is that a historical fact? Is Jesus talking about something before it happens and then it actually happened, just like he said? Isn't that weird how that happens, how there's literally hundreds of those in this book? Where a prophet, a man of God, will say, this is going to happen, and it happens, even though it's completely impossible how all these things can come together. You know, anyways, just food for thought. Because this happened in 70 AD. This happened. The Romans had finally had enough, man. And they tear down the city, man. They tear down the temple. Not one brick, not one block was left on top of the other. Because, man, fire swept through there. And a lot of the gold in the temple and the walls was melting. The Roman military was like, dude, I'm getting some of this. So once they got all the gold that they could get and they saw the gold that was piling up and melting throughout these bricks, man, they tore them bricks down to get all that gold. Man, God said not one block would be left on top of another. That's pretty stinking specific. And that's exactly what happened. Okay. Barricades around you and surround you and hem you in on every side and tear you down to the ground, you and your children within you. And they will not leave one stone upon another in you because you did not know the time of your visitation. So basically what I want to talk about is if you haven't made that decision, you need to do it today. You need to do it, okay? Oh, the day I accepted Jesus Christ, I was in Cape Cod, Massachusetts. I can't remember the name of the town. But I wasn't expecting to accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior. But I left there a changed person. I still did a lot of things I shouldn't have done. God's still working on me. You understand what I'm saying? Yeah. But I made that decision. I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior. And, man, it's a wonderful thing. It's the most important decision we got to make. It's way more important than what kind of car, what kind of house, who you're going to get tied down to, all that stuff. None of that compares to this decision right here. This is the biggest decision you'll ever make. And maybe everybody's already done it, but maybe you haven't. Well, see, tomorrow's not promised to you. Jesus is weeping over Jerusalem because they're missing their opportunity. Well, he didn't fit the mold of what they thought he should be. So they rejected him. Well, Jesus ain't about fitting into your mold. You know, you don't complete him. He completes us. 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 2. For he says, in a favorable time, I listened to you. And in a day of salvation, I have helped you. Behold, now is the favorable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. This is the day of salvation if you have not accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You got to do it. So look. This is what I want to do. If you haven't accepted Jesus and you want to, I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray. And if you want to accept Jesus, I want you to repeat after me, but mean it, okay? Maybe you've drifted away, you know? We've all done that, man. Maybe you've drifted away. These altars are open.